Welcome to Let's Talk About Sex, where every audacious, outrageous, and legendary customer experience begins with the employee experience. Get ready. Here's your host, speaker, facilitator, and coach, Maxine Shapiro.
Labor Day, the unofficial end of summer, and a day we honor all workers. Hi, I'm Maxine Shapiro, and thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate that you've been so supportive of this podcast. Well, here are a few historical facts about Labor Day, according to the Department of Labor, Bureau of Labor Statistics, AFL-CIO, and of course, Wikipedia. This is from the Department of Labor. Quote, in the late 1800s, at the height of the Industrial Revolution, the average American worked 12-hour days and 7-day weeks in order to eke out a basic living. Wow, does that sound like some jobs right now? Despite restrictions in some states, children as young as 5 or 6 toiled in mines, factories, and mills across the country, earning a fraction of their adult counterpart wages, unquote. Today, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, full-time employed females work an average of 8.5 hours per day, while full-time employed males work an average of 35 minutes more. I say put an additional 4 to 5 hours on that day, and you're in Silicon Valley, Silicon Beach, or with any startup. Now, today, the legal working age for children in non-agricultural jobs is now 14 years old. It also varies on the job. A 14-year-old cannot drive a truck. I actually read that somewhere, really. So here are some more facts about Labor Day from the Department of Labor and AFL-CIO. Let's go back to September 5th, 1882. Quote, 10,000 workers took unpaid time off to march from City Hall to Union Square in New York City, holding the first Labor Day parade in U.S. history. The idea of a working man's holiday celebrated on the first Monday in September caught on, and many states passed legislation recognizing it. Congress would not legalize the holiday until 12 years later, when a crisis in our labor history brought workers right front and center. On May 11, 1894, employees of the Pullman Palace Car Company in Chicago went on strike to protest wage cuts and the firing of union representatives, unquote. I'll be referring back to this when I discuss unionization. In the wake of this massive unrest and in an attempt to repair ties with American workers, Congress passed an act making Labor Day a legal holiday. And on June 28, 1894, President Grover Cleveland signed it into law. Now, mind you, Grover Cleveland was a fiscal conservative and at first balked at the idea. Mind you, this is just a holiday. Still, there is debate on who founded Labor Day. Here are a few more momentous events in our labor and unionization history. Referring back to the Pullman Palace Car Company Uprise, better known as the Pullman Strike, quote, it took place between May 11th through July 20th, 1894. This was a widespread railroad strike and boycott that severely disrupted rail traffic in the Midwest. The federal government's response to the unrest marked the first time that an injunction was used to break a strike. What was the significance of the strike? By involving as many as 250,000 railroad workers on some 20 railroads, the Pullman strike demonstrated the power of the labor movement. However, in precipitating the use of the injunction to break the strike, it opened the door to greater court involvement in limiting the effectiveness of strikes. The AFL, which was only 8 years old, was not in favor of the strike, as the American Railway Union, ARU, was taking away their members. I swear I've read that many, many times before, but since. Well, you know what I'm saying. Okay. The unionization and blacks. Quote, A, Philip Randolph brought the gospel of trade unionism to millions of African-American households. Randolph led a 10-year drive to organize the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters, that's BSCP. They were the porters that began the Pullman strike. Randolph served as the organization's first president, and he directed the March on Washington and the movement to end employment discrimination in the defense industry and a national civil disobedience campaign to ban the segregation in the armed forces. The nonviolent protest and mass action efforts inspired the civil rights movement of the 1950s and 60s, unquote. AFL, again founded in 1886, which originally organized workers in craft unions, and the CIO, founded in 1935, which organized workers by industries, merged. And in 1955, the American Federation of Labor, AFL, and the Congress of Industrial Organizations, CIO, became AFL-CIO. There are now 57 unions that are part of the AFL-CIO with 12.5 million members. Boy, could I go off on a rant about Amazon warehouses, but I won't. You should all go check it out. On to women of color. Quote, a trade union activist and labor leader, Arlene Holt Baker, was the first African-American to ever serve as an officer in the AFL-CIO. She was appointed executive vice president in 2007 and won re-election in 2009. The Latinos, quote, the Labor Council for Latin American Advancement is devoted to continued efforts to get out the facts, raise voices, and mobilize Latino labor leaders and workers around the country for action. In 2016, for every dollar that a white man earned, his Latino counterpart at the same job made 54 cents. That means Latino workers stand to lose $1 million in a 40-year career, unquote. That is pathetic. And I will end with this. In June of 2022, Liz Shuler was elected the first woman to be president of the AFL-CIO. That was June 2022. So please enjoy your Labor Day and remember we are all in this together. Please, let's honor our workers today. If you have any comments about this episode, go either to MaxineShapiro.com and you'll see a little mic there. You can leave it verbally or you can put it in the contact or you can let the wonderful people at Apple Podcasts know, especially if you liked it, and leave a comment there. Thank you again for listening, and let's be kind out there. Happy Labor Day.